Welcome to Yarns at Yin Hu, a podcast about the fiber arts and other post-apocalyptic skills. Episode 341, Sweater in a Week. Saturday, January 11th, 2025.
I'm your host, Sarah. You can find me on social media as Sarah Pomegranate. Each time I record an episode, I post show notes, photographs, and links to things I talk about on my website, yarnsatyinhu.com. Today's episode features the following segments: news and events, yarn lover at large, the back porch, the front porch, ever-expanding skill set, and off the shelf. Hello, listeners. I hope you are doing well. We woke this morning to a very nice dusting of snow. It's been super cold here at Yin Hu near Delaware Water Gap, Pennsylvania. And the snow is just a beautiful way to freshen everything up. And there have been very active birds at the feeders, which make mornings super pleasant. Over the holiday, I was able to get some serious knitting done, as well as some other projects, which I'm going to tell you about. And I was also able to do some relatively local traveling up to Saratoga Springs, New York, where finally I was able to visit the Clean Fleece Project and see their site and see everything in operation. Nora was our guide, and Abby was also there. Samuel and I were shown all around and shown how all the equipment and machinery works there. It's been a long time that I've been wanting to take a tour of that facility, so it was superb. We were also able to meet up with MJ Packer and Dave, her husband of Maple Lamb Farms, for drinks in Saratoga Springs. From MJ, I learned that the Hudson Valley Textile Project will have a real presence at Vogue Knitting Live in New York City this month, and I am hoping that on Sunday, the final day of the event, I will be able to travel in and see them vending at the marketplace. It's a really important step for Hudson Valley Textile Project and opens a lot of possibilities for their work. So if you happen to be traveling to the event in New York City, I hope you will take the time to stop by their booth and say hello. It will be a small booth with lots of different representation, so, and different people staffing it throughout the weekend. So it's worth a check and a check back. Speaking of the Hudson Valley Textile Project, there is an ongoing hashtag to promote the value of wool. It's hashtag HV Winter of Wool, and it's a chance for anyone who is passionate about the use, knitting, spinning, wearing of wool to make a post over the course of 100 days, basically the season of winter, and to engage with others who are likewise making posts. I've been doing so. So has my friend Mary Beth, MJ Packer, of course, Carol Foster. So I urge you to consider making a post wearing some of your hand knits, or even if you purchase wool clothing commercially, to share it online and to engage with others. Coming up on February 1st, I will be teaching a sewing class at Pocono Sew and Vac. Once again, it's on sewing the All Well box top. So it's a great class for first garment construction. We start with how to work with patterns, including PDF patterns. And we go from there to making some simple sizing adjustments, and we finish with sewn tops. I will link to registration information This class is reasonably priced. It's a one-day class, and February 1st is a Saturday. I would love to see you there if you're interested in learning how to sew. I would say you should have some confidence and familiarity with your sewing machine, but you don't need a ton of experience beyond that. This really is for beginners, and it's to help you build confidence. My final announcement has to do with quarterly prizes for Ko-fi contributors. I am still hoping to hear from Moonchika. Moonchika, you are one of the quarter four winners. Please get in touch with me. I've left a message for you on the Ko-fi account, but I'd love to get your prize out to you. The quarter one prize for 2025 is a $60 gift certificate to Knit Spin Farm. If you've been listening to this podcast for any length of time, you know that I admire Joanna and her dyeing. She does amazing self-striping yarns with lots of farm, nature, and whimsical inspiration for her colorways. And she also dyes spinning fiber as well. She is a farmer, and I really love to promote her and her business. So this is a super generous gift certificate, and Joanna is adding to it free shipping for in the US and discounted shipping if the winner happens to be outside the US. To be in the running for this prize, all you need to do is make a one-time contribution or be a contributing member on Ko-fi. And there are links to Ko-fi and how you can do that and provide that support on my website as well as my social media links. I am so very grateful to all of the support I get through Ko-fi contributions. It really makes a difference to be supported in this way as I put out podcasts each month. So thank you. On the back porch is my sweater in a week. As I mentioned in the previous episode, I had plans of casting on a second version of the Orbital Jumper by Ranti Ehemola and using all scraps of leftover yarn to knit this project. I cast on this project on Christmas Eve and I finished it, I think, on New Year's Day or maybe the day after. I'm incredibly pleased with the result, and I did receive some questions and comments after posting a video of myself wearing the sweater on Instagram. So I want to address some points that might motivate you to use some of your scraps and leftovers to knit a similar sweater. First of all, I think that it's helpful to knit a simple top-down raglan, and it's even better to knit a sweater design that you've already knit. This just takes figuring out the pattern out of the equation, and you can focus on managing all of the different yarns that you're using. In my case, I was knitting on US 9 and 11 needles, so it was quite a big gauge. And the scraps and leftovers that I had ranged from lace weight to DK, but predominantly there were fingering weight yarns. Most were 100% wool, but not all. And I avoided anything that was variegated in color. I used tonal yarns or yarns that were pretty pure in color. I don't think that's necessary, but it was useful for me to create the kind of look that I wanted. For the most part, I held three yarns together at all times. The sweater has a marled effect in terms of color, And in general, it has a few bright pops of color around the neckline. And then gradually it transitions from lighter to darker. I wanted to achieve the effect of, you know, kind of crazy colors mixed together, but I didn't want it to be too crazy. And overall, I think it's pleasing to work toward darker colors toward the cuffs and the hemline. So when I was going through all of my colors, I separated out things that were lighter and brighter. And I also made a pile of yarn that I was going to use as neutrals. And I kept a neutral going throughout the entire sweater. In general, I worked from lighter in those neutrals to darker. It didn't always work exactly that way, but overall I was most pleased when I was adhering to those principles, I guess you could say. And I used each yarn of my three, I used each yarn for about 9 rounds before swapping it out, which meant that I was swapping out one of the yarns every 3 rounds or so. And I didn't bother with finicky weaving in ends. When I was going to change colors, I just held 4 yarns together for 4, 5, or 6 stitches and then continued with my new color. And there were a lot of unsightly long ends inside the sweater, and I just kind of trimmed them back a little bit. Around the cuffs and the hem, where those things can be seen, I was a little more painstaking in weaving in some of those ends. The body of the sweater worked out pretty well. It transitioned gradually from lighter to darker with nothing too weird happening around the bust line, which I wanted to avoid. And then I ended with a split hem and some 1x1 ribbing, and I knit the back hem a little bit longer than the front. I wanted the sleeves to match, or relatively so, and I wanted them to coordinate with the body of the sweater. So when it came time to do the sleeves, I divided remaining yarn into 2 sets so that I could work the sleeves at the same time, sort of doing 9 or so rounds at a time on each sleeve, and I could be using the same colors or nearly the same colors, and I could try to mimic what was happening in the body of the sweater. So I didn't want it to be too outlandishly crazy, but I wanted to work as hard as I could to use up my yarn. It goes great with black, and it's really nice and warm. The collar, the neckline of this version came up quite a bit higher than in my previous version of this orbital jumper, which is nice for winter because it covers up my neck a little bit more. As I was tapering down the sleeves, I shifted to 1x1 rib for a really extra long cuff, which I can wear cuffed up for a 3/4 length, or I can pull down to really cover my wrists and the tops of my hands. And that also makes it nice in wintertime for holding on to and shoving your arm into a jacket or something like that. I suppose that an important point I want to make about this sweater and sweater knitting in general is that you don't necessarily need a sweater's quantity of yarn to knit a sweater. It's also an opportunity to use up something in your stash that really does not appeal to you. So, for example, if you have a fingering weight yarn in a color that you don't really care for, holding it as one of 3 strands throughout a knit will kind of dull the effect of that color you don't like so much, but it will also give some consistency and continuity to the sweater overall. I think that a sweater project like this is a great way to end the year or start the year by using up a lot of scraps. And it also can tell you a lot about your own color choices. I wasn't very surprised that there were a lot of purples and browns and greens in the sweater that I knit, because that's predominantly what I've used for a lot of my other knitting. So it was nice to revisit those yarns and to think about the projects that I had knit them into earlier. Once again, that's the Orbital Jumper by Ranti Ehemola. Since completing that scrappy sweater, I have moved on to another project that I have long been thinking about, and that is yet another version of the Soul Sweater by Agio Knit, but this time using some motifs and colorwork from Marie Wallen to knit the sweater. I really like the shape of this Soul Sweater. I love the increases along the shoulder line and the super horizontal appearance of the colorwork. And it put me in mind of Mousa. It's a Marie Wallen design in her Shetland book, the only book I have by Marie Wallen. And I think this might be the sixth item that I will be knitting from that book. It's a tunic length pullover with no sleeves, really just some ribbing around the armholes to finish it off. And I just had this very strong feeling that the Soul blouse construction could work with this color work. So far, I have cast on for the Soul blouse again. I'm using slightly smaller needles than I did last time. I'm using US 5s. My hope is that the yarn, the Concordia yarn from Carol Foster of Foster Sheep Farm, will work well with Marie Wallen's British Breeds yarn. They are not technically the same weight, but I feel optimistic. Until I actually start doing the color work, I won't exactly know, but that day is coming very soon because I'm almost done with all of the top shaping of the sweater and I can start to incorporate some of these bands of color work. I will also be taking some liberties with the exact colors of the yarn. I went through all of my jumper weight colorwork yarn. It's a combination of Jameson's of Shetland, Jameson's and Smith, as well as Marie Wallen British Breeds. And I ordered a few additional balls for colors that I thought would figure in quite frequently to the colorwork. I will also be relying on some information I absorbed while in Tammy Gore's class this fall on how to use different colored yarns to achieve an effect. So let's say there's blue in your color work and you don't have enough of a single blue to achieve all of that patterning, but you do have three different shades of blue. So you could combine those to achieve your blue. You could work from darkest to lightest, for example, or, you know, from a grayer blue to a brighter blue. And you could use up small bits of yarns that you have and still achieve the overall color that you're going for, but without having to have a certain amount of each particular yarn. This was fascinating and interesting to me. I think there are a few places in this color work where I will try to use that technique and see what I think of it. ever-expanding skill set. I had the opportunity over the holidays to do a little bit of additional baking. One recipe that came out extraordinarily well, it was so delicious, was from the Cast Iron Skillet Cookbook. This cookbook has been around for a while. I think it's a very good one. I have the same complaint I have of most cookbooks, which is that every recipe is not pictured. But in this case, the pear and gingerbread upside down cake was pictured. The recipe yields a beautifully moist and delicious cake with sliced pears, caramelized glaze, because you bake it in the cast iron skillet and flip it upside down when it's done, as well as a really indulgent, sticky but not too sweet ginger and molasses cake. It's great for dessert. It's also an approved breakfast item. If you have the Cast Iron Skillet Cookbook, I encourage you to give that a try. I've been dreaming of making it since I had Emily's version on a retreat we did many years ago, and it's always kind of revolved around in my mind, but I never got around to it. This winter, I had quite a few pears that were like perfect ripeness, and it really was just the thing. Another way that I have been expanding my skill set is expanding my thinking about how to make better use of my workspace. In this episode's show notes, I will share a before and after photograph of my office space, which I always thought of as my office space, and is now a crafting space. There were three main elements that came together to help me envision this space. One was to center my table in the space that I have instead of my desk. And that just involved switching the place that I had my desk and I had a table. Because I have a beautiful cherry table with leaves that open. Lots of great space to work, but I had it pushed against a wall where I never opened it the whole way. So by shifting those two pieces of furniture, I now have the room to open this table the entire way. So that was one major shift. The second shift was to lift the table. This is a beautiful big table, as I said, but working on it even half folded out for any length of time and doing pattern cutting, it was really too low for me and my height. I just kind of put up with it, never did anything about it. So once I had this table positioned in the center of the space, I purchased riser blocks. They're beautiful wood, but not super expensive, very sturdy, and put them under the legs of the table to lift it up 3 inches, which makes a really big difference in the usability of the table as a cutting table and workspace. They're very easily removed in the event that I want to lower the table, if I want to put my sewing machine there and sit at it. I think one additional thing I would like to add to this space is a stool, just so I have a space to kind of perch and rest and sit as I'm working, because while it's raised up 3 inches, a typical chair doesn't really accommodate that. So that's number two, lifting the table. And number three was to finally wrap all of my fabric into bolts and label them with the width information, the fabric content information as far as I know it, and the yardage. Samuel cut pieces of cardboard just the size I need to fit all of these fabric bolts into the shelving. It turned out that it took the same amount of space to store them neatly as it did to cram everything in big wads that I couldn't make any sense of. So the same amount of space is devoted to my fabric stash, but it's much more organized. I feel a sense of excitement about using stash instead of a sense of confusion. Most of my books, notions, my yarn stash was already quite well organized, but I just kind of went through everything and did an edit and a bit of reorganization while I was at it. And I guess a fourth thing that isn't a major shift, but it's super helpful, is that I was able to put some hooks around the bookcases at the edge of this crafting space and store things that had previously been hiding behind my desk. So things like my cutting mats and all of my rulers, they have big holes in them that make it ideal for just putting them over a hook. So they take up a lot less room. And then I have hooks with some different bags and baskets so that I can keep things up off the floor and organized. Under the table is my sewing machine in a beautiful bag that my sister sewed for me, as well as a big basket with patterns and my freezer paper. Then I'm also able to keep my spinning wheel out in the space and was inspired so much that I have already begun spinning up some beautiful Kerry Hill bats that I scoured and carded earlier this spring and summer and which have just been waiting for me. So I can tell that having a true craft space rather than just an office with an ironing board in it has inspired me to think more carefully about projects. I feel more motivated and organized. I think it's going to help my creativity and productivity overall. Off the shelf. It is that time of year where we start to listen for the wood ducks on our creek to return once again. I was thinking about that and reminded of a Wendell Berry poem. I don't think I have shared this on the podcast before, but it has long been a favorite. I have been thinking about it, rereading it and rereading it over the past days and weeks because I find this poem a comfort, and I thought it was time to share it with you. In the show notes, I will link to the On Being website where there is the text of this poem, but also a recording of Wendell Berry reading it himself. This is The Peace of Wild Things by Wendell Berry. When despair for the world grows in me, and I wake in the night at the least sound in fear of what my life and my children's lives may be, I go and lie down where the wood drake rests in his beauty on the water, and the great heron feeds. I come into the peace of wild things who do not tax their lives with forethought of grief. I come into the presence of still water, and I feel above me the day-blind stars waiting with their light. For a time I rest in the grace of the world and am free. When despair for the world grows in me, and I wake in the night at the least sound, in fear of what my life and my children's lives may be, I go and lie down where the wood drake rests in his beauty on the water, and the great heron feeds. I come into the peace of wild things who do not tax their lives with forethought of grief. I come into the presence of still water, and I feel above me the day-blind stars waiting with their light. For a time, I rest in the grace of the world and am free. Thank you so much for listening. I wish you a calm and peaceful week that yields some time for the crafting you enjoy. Take care.